seen someone who I did not think was saved, I would have asked you if you were ready to give your heart to the Lord. Happy birthday, Jesus. Or what we've come to say to one another is Merry Christmas. This is a time in which we remember when God chose to activate his eternal plan to send Jesus to earth as a man, so that you and I could once again walk in Father's embrace. Tonight I want to speak briefly on the light of the world. See, there's, in the reality that we face, there's only one battle that's taking place. Darkness against light. Doesn't matter how you slice it, that's the battle. The light and the darkness. The good news is that the light has already won. The war is over. The king is seated, and he's expecting each of us to perform his word. So we've got a lot to celebrate in the midst of the darkness that surrounds us. You know, if you and I won't celebrate, darkness will suffocate. If you and I won't celebrate, darkness will suffocate. In Proverbs 4:18, the Amplified Bible reads, "But the path of the uncompromisingly righteous, the just, is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer, until it reaches the full strength and glory in the perfect day to be prepared." As you and I walk in his word, the light gets brighter. I'm willing to celebrate Jesus until that perfect day. Are you? I celebrate him where I am today, knowing that there's a perfect day coming. There's an old story that probably we could relate to, especially if you looked at the building we put the offer in on, about an old church building that needed some renovation. The one we looked at, as Matthias said, needed a lot of sweat equity. And so one day the preacher said to the congregation, "I think what we need is a little bit of paint and a chandelier." And one of the men in the back said, "Excuse me, Pastor." "Yes?" He said, "Chandelier, that's got to be pretty expensive. Besides, there ain't no one here who can play that. Why don't we just get a light?" See, we all need some light. We see all this dark stuff going on around us. We see all the news reports. We listen to the rumors. And all we need is a little bit of light. Don't tell your sister, Sam, but I got you flashlights for Christmas. 9 LED. Poor dad. When Bill was three, he did something else when he was two. We were in a camping group, a group of people that just would go tent camping. And every September they would go, they called themselves the Ridge Runners. We'd go up to the Blue Ridge Mountains and we would just tent camp for Labor Day weekend. Well, Casey and I finally graduated from a two-man pup tent with four of us in it to a five-man stand-up tent. And about 2:30 one morning, I was having terrible chest pains, and this bright light shone in my face. I wasn't going to heaven. Here's Bill, 3 years old, sitting on my chest, figured out how to turn my flashlight on and off. And he's shining it. In my... See, we all need a little light in the midst of the darkness. Don't you get any ideas about what you're going to do to your daddy now. See, without light, we can't see, and so we just stumble around in the darkness. History has shown us what darkness will do in a culture that rejects light. We saw it in Nazi Germany. We saw it in the USSR. We saw it in China and in the Middle East. The list from history is very, very long. But we've also seen what light does when a person or a state or a nation turns to Jesus. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Just a little light. Science teaches us that light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That's pretty fast. Light comes suddenly, just like that flashlight in my eyes, and it strikes the eyes and gives vision. Without light, there is no sight, and there is no vision. And according to Proverbs 29:18, that without vision, people perish. See, danger surrounds us, but light enables us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's why I'm giving the kids a flashlight. See, with light we fear no evil because we know He, the light, is with us. Psalm 36:9 tells us, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we will see light. This is the season in which we celebrate the entrance of God's light into the world. And it's the season in which we rejoice because He has shown us the way through the dangers of life. But we must appreciate light when it comes into darkness and lights our way. The darker the night, the brighter the light. How many of you see things getting darker? Just like we said 4 years ago, this decade you're going to see things get darker, but you're going to see those that embrace Jesus get brighter and brighter. First, John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus is the Word of God who brought light into a darkened world. In Jesus was the life and the light of men. The darkness could not and cannot extinguish the light of Christ. He has already won. It's over. The light came into the world as a small baby in a small village in a very small nation. That's probably not the way you and I would have chosen for God to come into the world. Very few people even noticed Jesus' birth. King Herod tried to extinguish the light. 33 years later, the Romans and the leaders of Israel tried to extinguish the light. They used every means they could think of, including the cross. But today, more than 1 billion people confess that they have seen the eternal light and serve Jesus as Lord. It should be no surprise to us that the light of Jesus, which is full of grace and truth, has spread to the nations, because the prophets foretold of His light for centuries. John the Baptist was alive when it happened, but others saw it coming before the light came into the world. Consider a few of them. Moses. In Numbers 14, we're told that Israel walked in darkness, failing to see the promise of God and rebelling against Moses, even refusing to enter the promised land. Sounds like some of us today. God says, here it is. And because it's not placed in our laps, we don't enter into His promise. See, that whole generation perished because they refused the light. Even in that darkness, though, God promised to fill the earth with His glory or His radiance. In Numbers 14:21, God said, but indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. See, that's an amazing prophetic word that was given about 1,500 years before Jesus entered the world. How many of you have been waiting for a prophetic word to be fulfilled? I don't think you've quite waited 15 centuries. But in the fullness of time, God will honor the word he's spoken to you. What is even more amazing about that prophecy is that it came in a time of darkness and rebellion. We have hope because we are in a time of darkness and rebellion, and the light is getting ready to shine. See, Moses was a seer who saw light when everyone else saw darkness. Moses saw beyond Israel to a time when the whole earth would be filled with the glory of the Lord. See, Moses understood that over 3,500 years ago, that light God was bringing to enter the world, not just for his people that Moses was leading through the wilderness, but for whosoever would believe in the light. Consider David. Psalm 27 was written when David was in a time of trouble and darkness. In verse 1, we read that David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" In verse 5, David said, "For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle." See, the light of God's presence brings salvation and strength and courage. Rather than running from the light, we should be running to the light. The light of God hides us and protects us from the dangers that lurk in the darkness. David takes the universal promise of God's light to the world and he makes it personal. We need to make God's word personal to ourselves. David said, "He is my light." He's not just the light of the world, he is my light. The Lord wants to make the light of the world personal to each of us, especially when we are in times of trouble. Consider Isaiah. Isaiah often speaks about the light. In Isaiah 60, verse 1, he says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." In verses 2 and 3, we read that this will happen even though darkness covers the earth and deep darkness covers the people. We have hope. See, the glory of the Lord will rise over us, and more importantly, it will draw others to him. Without light, moving forward is unwise. I worked in dark rooms for many years. And you learned how to discern a light 20 feet away and let your eyes adjust so that you could see from that little tiny safe light. And you learned you did not move forward unless your hand was out in front of you like this until you had your sight. See, a little bit of light will change the darkness. Consider Habakkuk. Habakkuk struggled with darkness, violence, and suffering around him. You could almost say he was writing about our day. Habakkuk was probably like you and me because he argued with God about the evil of his times. Have you ever argued with God about what's going on? And when Habakkuk finally got quiet to see what God would say, we see in chapter 2, verse 4, that God replied with a history-making answer, "But the righteous will live by faith." Then in verse 14, God promises, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." See, Habakkuk was disturbed about the darkness, but the Lord instructed him to have faith in the light that would cover the earth. Are we just believing for me, myself, and I? Or are we believing that he wants us to be kingdom builders and history makers? Most of us can relate to Habakkuk's problem. The darkness is disturbing, but we need to trust God. Faith brings light into darkness. When we look at Malachi, we also see a prophet that lived in very troubling times. And the writings of Malachi give us the last book in the Old Testament. In Malachi's days, 2013, soon to be 2014, families were breaking up. The temple was corrupt. Parents and children were estranged. Israel was dominated by the Persian Empire, which is now modern-day Iran. Where is Israel's greatest fear right now? Persia. But look at what the Lord tells Malachi in chapter 1, verse 5. Your eyes will see this and you will say, the Lord be magnified beyond the border of Israel. See, we've got to see the light beyond our own sphere of influence. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 11, the Lord said, from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations. See, even while the nation of Israel profaned the Lord, he proclaimed that his light would shine from the east to the west, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The prophets understood that darkness could not conquer light and truth. We've got to grasp that understanding. They also understood that the light came to Israel was, in fact, for the entire world. The prophets didn't just see it for them and theirs. Even though Israel often failed to see God's plan, as he told them in Exodus 19:5 when he said, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among the peoples of the earth, for all the earth is mine. They knew they were his, but the prophets knew he was interested in the whole earth. In like manner, the light in the church is not merely for the church, but for the entire world, especially for those in darkness around us. That's why it's so important that we take the light into the seven mountains. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Malachi prophesied that the Son of Righteousness would rise with healing for those who feared the Lord, that light would come to those who revered the Lord's name, that light was and does have healing properties. See, we know now that there are different wavelengths of light that will heal different things. Science is discovering what God put into all creation. We know that light can eliminate bacteria and certain germs. Natural light contains healing properties, whereas darkness is conducive to disease. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Those who prefer darkness do so because of evil. Jesus tells us in John 3:19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. That's from the mouth of our Savior. So let's look at the greatest prophet of all, Jesus. Jesus is the light that the prophets saw. He's the one that they died believing was coming. In John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the light of the world. Like John, we have beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. The same light that the shepherds saw is still shining upon our earth and upon each of our paths. The night was dark, but the light was glorious. Now, we shouldn't be afraid to praise the Lord. In the middle of the night, these shepherds began praising the Lord. Who knows, maybe a choir of angels will show up and start singing with you. That'll light up your path. See, his light shines brightly, even more brightly in the darkest night. You and I have not had a night like the disciples and the apostles in prison. They could have chosen to sit in the darkness, but what did they do? They chose to worship the Lord and pray. And all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord set them free. Have you ever sat with other Christians discussing Jesus and then sensed his presence in your midst? It's a special time, isn't it? It's a glorious feeling. Jesus promised to be there when two or more would gather in his name. He will not fail you. Did you recognize him? Did you feel like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24? Discussing, and here he is in your presence, and then as you're discussing, all of a sudden you get this feeling like we're in his presence. See, it's exciting to discuss Scripture in his presence because his light brings revelation that you've never had before. His presence brings light. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We've all experienced danger and darkness, but God sent his light to save us. I don't think that we can fully celebrate the light that entered the world 2,000 years ago until we experience that same light in our lives and our fellowship. Just as the darkness scattered them, so it will be scattered when we experience his light in our lives. All we have to do is come into his presence, and his light will scatter the manifestations of darkness that surround us. We can be just as joyful as the shepherds were on that first night, or when the prophets rejoiced to see Jesus' day. See, joy to the world is much more than just a Christmas carol. It is an experience. When we have Jesus come into our presence, we experience the joy that came into the world. Do you need revelation? I do. If you don't, I'll admit that I do. See, too many of God's people are stumbling in the shadow of death. That's what life is without Jesus. To say nothing of the rest of the world. If Christians are not walking in the light, how can we expect for our light to irradiate those that are walking in darkness? We are much like Israel was in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, as it is today, evil is often called good. Two Fridays ago, a judge in Utah said that polygamy was legal. We knew it was coming as soon as they said gays could marry. They've taken what God said is good and very good, and they've perverted it. And they've taken perversion and called it good. Isaiah 5:20 tells us that that day is coming when evil will be called good and good will be called evil. When Jesus went to Galilee in Matthew 14:6, Matthew tells us the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land in the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. Jesus healed the sick, he cast out evil spirits, and he preached the kingdom of God. That is what the light did, and that is what he still does. This continues to happen when we come to Jesus. Systems and methods don't do these things. Systems and methods don't cast out devils. Systems and methods don't heal the sick. Systems and methods don't preach the gospel. Jesus does. The light of the world in you. This little light of mine. Christmas is a celebration of the light that has come. We like the lights. We like the lights all around. It's fun to drive and see the light. But every time we see light, we should be celebrating the true light. The light is brighter than the trees that are lit, and it's even brighter than the noonday sun. Acts 9:3 says that as Paul was traveling and as he was approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around us, brighter than a noonday sun. It blinded him. And he came to the light. It is the light that exposes darkness, illuminates our path, and saves us from destruction. This is the light that cleanses and heals our wounds. It drives out evil thoughts and intentions. This light is always available when we seek his face. Proverbs 18:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early and diligently find me. He wants to pour his light through you if you just begin to seek him as the first part of your day, whenever that is. Even if you're working night shift, whenever you get up, that's the first part of your day. In the world, there is tribulation. Tribulation is extreme pressure. How many of you have extreme pressure in your life? All of us. There is extreme pressure on us. But through Jesus, there is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, when that pressure touches you, I'm going to tell on our brother Ron now. When that pressure touches you, what comes out of you should be what's coming out of Ron. The sweetness of the character of Christ. Witnessing to whosoever comes into his living room. See, there's tribulation, extreme pressure on all of us. But we need to have the light of the world in us to such a degree that what happens is it begins to ooze out of us and shine on those so that they will marvel. The good news is that the light is not just for you and me, but for whosoever will believe on Jesus. The person who with their dying breath says, Jesus, be my Lord, has the same light that you and I have. From east to west, brighter than the noonday sun, Jesus is the light of the world. This Christmas, may the world find his light in you. Casey, will you help me with communion, please? The greatest thing that the light of the world did for us was give himself up. He gave himself up when he left the throne room. And when he came down to earth, he took the form of a baby. So that none of us could say he didn't experience what I experienced. He experienced the extreme pressure of birth. How many of you were born in a stable? Jesus was. How many of you were wrapped in swaddling cloths? Jesus was. You know, you had choirs of angels singing over you? You just probably didn't know it till now. You have choirs of angels singing over you now when you join in worship. Jesus walked to school. I did on nice days. Not in the winter. Jesus worked menial labor jobs. You know, to be a carpenter, you probably had to sweep all of the carvings, all of the sawdust, clean up before you learned how to use the chisel and the saw. Jesus faced peer pressure from his own brothers and sisters. Jesus faced the rejection of those who should have known him, the religious leaders, that he was teaching from their Torah. But Jesus did something that you and I have never done. He chose to honor Father to the point of giving his life for you and me. As we celebrate the light of the world, celebrate the fact that he did this so that you can shine for him. Not that I can have a ticket to heaven. Not that I can have a place at his banqueting table. But that you can continue to make the earth look like heaven by letting his love and his light shine through you. As you come up to take the elements tonight, ask the Lord, what is that hindering thing that you have not let his light shine on yet? And then ask him to shine his light. Because the light that he wants to shine through you is the light of the love in his eyes that is burning for you and for those around you. Please come up the center.